Welcome to Author Express. Thanks for checking us out. This is the podcast where you give us 15 minutes of your time and we give you a chance to hear the voice behind the pages and get to know some of your favorite writers in a new light. I'm one of your hosts, Kathleen Basie. I'm an award-winning musical composer, feature writer, essayist, and of course, storyteller. Let me tell you a little about today's guest. Barbara Josselson loves crafting stories about strong protagonists facing a fork in the road. She is the author of 8 novels, including The Forgotten Italian Restaurant, which readers have called heartbreaking and phenomenal and definitely a must. When she's not writing, Barbara loves ballet, both dancing and watching, yoga, reading, and spending time with her husband and 3 adult children. And she is the proud pet parent of a rescue pup named Albie. Welcome, Barbara, to Author Express.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be with you today.
So tell us, what is the most interesting thing about where you come from?
For me, the most interesting thing, I live now about a 30-minute train ride from New York City, and I grew up about a 45-minute train ride from New York City. And I think that's the most interesting thing about where I live. I grew up just a train ride away from Broadway shows, Lincoln Center, the Met, and going there to shows or to the ballet was just visiting my backyard, basically, and I loved it.
That's so intriguing to me, because I went and I did a church event in the suburbs, in the New Jersey suburbs, in November, and I was just blown away by really how close I was and how people were so casual about going into the city. I mean, it's still an investment to do that, and none of those things are cheap. So my question whenever I hear about these people saying this is, how much did you actually do that?
You know, that's really interesting. I think that, I mean, we did it all the time. You know, this was the big thing growing up, was when you got to be of an age that your parents let you go with a friend into the city.
Oh, my gosh.
I think I was 13 the first time, and, you know, we had to map out the whole thing, train to Penn Station, walk up, whatever it is, from 34th to 44th, where the theater was, where we're going to have lunch, how we're going to go back. It is an investment, but you know what? For me, for people like me who grew up like this, it's just part of the equation, you know? And I will say, I mean, if we're going in, we just saw a show last week, and you really have to balance the train ride with the, or if you're going to drive and where to park and, you know, the garage, and it is a lot of prep. But at this point, it's, you know, growing up, it was just part of the equation. I mean, it's a lot easier to go to a movie, you know, take it, you know, the next town than it is to really go in the city, but we're just used to it. And I think I go try to get into the city at least 4 times a month.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
You know,
Yeah, that's wonderful that you take advantage of what's there. Mm-hmm. I do remember my parents putting me on a train in Boston to go down to New York City for a flute convention when I was in college. And I was a wreck. I mean, poor little, you're talking about putting 13-year-olds on a train to New York, and my little Midwestern mom heart is just going pitter-patter.
Oh, that's so funny. As an adult, it's busy, and there's a lot of people, and it's, you know, a lot of traffic lights and a lot of bicycles. And you really have to, that's one thing I'm almost recently learned, was to get, not only to stay away from the cars, but to stay away from the
bicycles.
Bike lanes. But I guess it's probably true of many cities, but it's just exciting. And the theater is just so amazing. The theater district, it's, you know, because I have memories, you know, I go now and I'm just, you know, the person who's going is the person who went with her grandma to the, you know, or went with her mom on special occasions. And all those things are so wrapped up.
So speaking of theater district, you mentioned ballet in your intro. So I am, I'm deeply curious about ballet. Tell me about that.
I started dancing ballet when I was 4 or 5, and I really haven't stopped. In college, I danced, and going to graduate school, I found a dance school near my school, and I dance as an adult also. There's something about dance that taps into, I mean, you know, it's rhythmic, and it's even mathematic in a way, because when you're following choreography, it's kind of in 8 beats per. The combination might be 4 sets of 8 counts or something. So there's an intellectual ness to it.
Well, they say that crossing the body, the things that cross the body are good for warding off dementia. So I think about right. that a lot for myself. And because I have a daughter with a disability who is going to be prone to that as she gets older. So I think about that a lot. I mean, there's a lot of good about dance.
It really is in that way. It really is a whole body experience because you are thinking and, you know, and you are moving and there is muscle memory, but there's also intention. So I really enjoy it. And, you know, again, I grew up going to the Nutcracker at Lincoln Center every year. And now, you know, I've always taken my kids there too. And I mean, I guess this is true probably of anything. Maybe it's also true with you and your music, but when you're doing something that mirrors what you've seen professionals do, it's just very exciting. And the classes I take now are all women in my age group who have been dancing forever. And we still want to get it right. And we still want to get that double pirouette.
Yeah.
You know, not just the single one, but the double one or the, you know, the fouetté or the, you know, get that leap higher. It's, you know, there's always more to do and the next challenge to go after. And it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. I mean, dance is just beautiful. And just, you know, where you put your fingers and your arm and your pointed toe, it, you know, just a pose is just beautiful. And, you know, it's a, there's a language to it, like with everything else, with writing, with music, I imagine. You know, there's like, you know, sit and talk to somebody about the new fabric that a particular manufacturer has for the leotards or, you know, a new style of shoe. There's, you know, there's so much to talk about.
Yeah. Let's talk about your book a little bit. You mentioned writing. So tell us what book we're talking about today and tell us about it in one sentence.
Okay. The book we were talking about is The Forgotten Italian Restaurant, which came out in August, so last fall. And The Forgotten Italian Restaurant is about two women, a 30-year-old career woman in New York and a 92-year-old hotel owner in a remote part of Italy, whose lives intersect one fateful autumn around food, love, and a fateful decision made one time on the evening of the Nazi invasion of Rome.
Okay, very cool. So first of all, food. As a an Italian by marriage, I know it's all about the food. So this is part of a trilogy of books, right, that are set in, they're all, if I'm getting it right, they're all dual timeline books, and they're all between World War II Italy and modern American women.
That is correct. The thing that ties the three books together is that in the world of Italy in 1942, in my series, there are three sisters who were separated unintentionally as the Nazis were invading the northern part of Italy, and they became separated. And each book is about a different sister and their desire, their quest to come to re-find each other as they promised each other they would when they became separated. And the modern day heroines are all have a relation to these three sisters.
They're all looking for their roots is what it looked like to me.
Yeah, exactly. Which takes them back to Italy and to explore their a secret or a story or some event which ties them into this family of three sisters.
So Jocelyn does not sound terribly Italian. So tell me, why Italy? Why this time period?
Yeah, well, it is a World War II Holocaust story. I am Jewish. I'm not Italian, but I am Jewish. And so these stories hit very close to home for me. I'm not, you know, a descendant of a survivor, but I am someone with a long Jewish history. Now, why Italy? That's really has to do with a creative decision. The original story that I was inspired by started at a castle off the coast of Brittany in France. And this was a castle that was very important. It was a kind of a creative salon type place that artists and mathematicians and sculptors, writers would go. It was owned by a Polish mathematician. And it was in that family during World War II. And I was really inspired by it. Now, as a writer, I mean, it's kind of a creative, quirky decision that I decided that I wanted to take this castle and move it to the Mediterranean, off the Mediterranean of Italy. But Italy has a very complicated history with regard to World War II and Nazis. And it was an ally of Germany originally. you know, and then when the Americans and the British came in, starting from the south, the Allies were coming up from the south, the Germans were coming down from the north, and it was a question of where you were and who was going to get there first. So there was a lot of, it was a strong historical context that I felt really served the story I wanted to tell. And meanwhile, there's all kinds of opportunities with food and climate and gorgeous coastlines and foliage and all kinds of wonderful things that lent themselves to the story I wanted to tell.
That's very cool. So how do you approach, I would think that this is potentially very emotionally charged kind of time frame to things to write about. How do you approach writing like those kinds of things?
I am very convinced that these are stories that must be told and must be remembered and must be shared. Of course, my characters are fictional, but they reflect the themes that were there. You know, it's funny. It's such a good question for me because I just started envisioning these three sisters. And, you know, the oldest was the scientist. She's an intellectual. She's the subject of the first book, which is Secrets of the Italian Island. She wants to be a scientist. And then the middle one was the beauty. And she's creative and she's a dressmaker. And then the younger one was kind of the baby and still kind of finding herself. But she's the one that was into food and cooking. And that's, you know, this hotel that she owns, you know, that's a feature of it, is a beautiful bakery. And it wasn't until I was well into the second book and the idea of this was the middle sister, this was the beauty, just kind of made me suddenly realize that I was writing about my father's aunts.
Oh.
Isn't it funny that I just started remembering these three beautiful sisters, the middle one and the older one and then the younger one. They all were immigrants. They had come over. They all lived in different apartments in a apartment building in the Bronx. I mean, I was very young, but by the time I knew them, I think two of them were widows. One was still married with a husband. So basically, it was like the three of them were married to this one because they were all taking care of Benny, the one husband. And, you know, the food, I mean, okay, this is, you know, it was Jewish food, but it was food, and food meaning love, and food meaning caring and nourishment, nourishment of the soul, nourishment of the body. And the juxtaposition of that with this time in Europe when countries were occupied, when Italy was occupied in the north, and there was a shortage of food and a shortage of ingredients. There was no meat. It was hard to get wheat, you know, and the accommodations that the people, the community would make to try to still have delicious food and nourishing food when there was just so little. And this was a factor in the Forgotten Italian Restaurant, because in that book, this community is hiding Jews and helping to, you know, keeping them fed. And with such scarcity, and the community is kind of pooling their resources. I have this in my garden. You have eggs from your, and pooling it together to be able to, you know, feed the people they were hiding. So that became really important to me, to capture that food as a gift and food as a show of love, which is what I remembered. So, I mean, that's what I remembered from that apartment in the Bronx, was the holidays and the food and the eat, you know, and this transcends nationalities.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it does. Yeah. Well, that's really great. And we are actually over time, so we've got to wrap up. Let's ask, so really quickly, what's the best one place for people to find you online if they want to learn more?
Come to my website, www.barbarajosselson.com, and that'll send you to buy links and all kinds of things.
Okay, so tell us, what book or story is inspiring you the most these days?
Honestly, I guess it's a part of a theme, but the book that is always inspiring me is Little Women, Louisa May Alcott, Sisters.
Sisters, War.
Right, exactly. And compromises, decisions, childhood to adulthood, all those great themes that are so important to me.
Beautiful. That's a great one. All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. It goes by fast.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us today. Reviews help other people to find us, so please take a minute to give us a rating and leave a few words. We'll be here again next Wednesday. In the meantime, follow us on Instagram at Author Express Podcast to see who's coming up next. Don't forget, keep it express, but keep it interesting.